little thing called murder.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
And welcome to A Little Thing Called Murder.
So today is a super, super special episode because we have our first guest.
Insert jazz hands here. These aren't jazz hands, whatever. These are spear fingers.
All right, Heather, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, everyone. My name's Heather. I know Jaden from high school, middle school. She's my other half. So she forced me to be on here. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Over a gunpoint.
Podcast now.
But I am so excited to be on here, and I'm even more excited about the murder that I did because it's based in the town where I went to college.
Ooh. Oh,
there's a little hint for you guys.
I got you.
I'm still totally clueless.
But before we start, so what do you do for a living?
So I'm a fifth grade special ed teacher in Dover, Delaware.
Ooh, look at us crossing the fucking border.
Right?
Of the United States.
But yeah, before that, I was in the Peace Corps teaching English. So like, technically, you kind of crossed the actual borders. For, like,
oh, shit. Where'd you go?
I was in Uganda.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, never been.
So worldly.
Also, I love how we both do this, like, ooh, the Hiram shoulder thing.
Ooh, we're literally the same person.
So Megan says all the time, oh, 100%. And now I fucking say it. I'm like,
bro. And now I say, oh, I 10 out of 10 recommend. And I'm like, Jaden, get out of my head.
Well, when you're listening to it 300 times editing this shit, I mean, I guess it's bound to cross over.
Maybe just a little bit, but
just like any time I do something that I know I picked up from Tyler, I look at him and I'm like, I fucking hate myself. Because he does this like weird like body move thing. And I do that sometimes and I'm like, oh my God. I literally do it like to him and I'm like, I hate you because I'm you. Tyler. We have become one.
Hey, you guys are getting married, so.
What was that?
I don't know. That was your souls.
Oh.
Meshing.
Oh, their souls.
Yeah. But, this is what I wanted to say. Oh, also, Heather, if you didn't know, we should have titled the podcast We Digress, because that's all we do.
We go off on tangents.
Yeah. But, so this one, so I had juvenile court on Wednesday. There were these two twins that we were adjudicating. And then
what's that mean?
They were put on, it's called a consent decree, which is basically
me and Heather made the same face.
What?
We both went
like,
like what? Like what that is?
Word? It sounded like Greek.
Oh. Consent decree. So it's basically like probation. And so the charges like hang, like they're basically in limbo. And so they're basically on probation. And as long as they complete everything, the charges go away. But if they don't, we can always bring those charges back.
Okay.
Bring it back.
And like adjudicate them on the felony or the misdemeanor or whatever. But because, you know, they're kids and we want to rehabilitate them, we give them like this chance to like do better with a consent decree. But anyway, so yeah, there are these two twins. And then I was at lunch today and I swear to God, these kids were in the restaurant. And I was like, I'm not 100% positive, but I'm pretty positive. They kept looking at me and like I would like look at them. And these kids were like, they're not the greatest of what they did, but like I was like, fuck.
Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has mistakes.
I fucking love Hannah Montana.
Me too. Like,
one time in high school, someone told me that I looked like Hannah Montana that day, and I was like, best compliment ever. Thank you so much.
You're blonde.
The audacity. Rude. No. I had bangs. Straight across bangs. I think I had like a black sequin top or something. I had these like fuzzy-ish kind of furry-ish kind of boots on. I looked like fucking Hannah Montana. Fuck you, Megan.
I hit a nerve.
You did.
Don't say anything bad about Justin Bieber either, or you guys won't have a podcast anymore. She literally will not. Oh,
I was obsessed with Justin Bieber. I mean, who wasn't?
Yes. Yo, we got in trouble one time by our friends because they wanted us to come over, especially because this one kid liked me, and our friends were like, they were trying to, you know, like put us together. But Heather and I instead saw Justin Bieber's movie for a second time in theaters instead, and then they yelled at us.
I love that for you
guys. We got in big trouble. We came in over with the 3D glasses on and everything, and they were like, you were where?
Dude,
I was with my boyfriend.
Right. Yeah. I have a picture of that. I think it's on our Facebook. Well, we should definitely include that in our post.
It was between Justin Bieber and I had this mad like love for Joe Jonas.
Yes, he's the hottest one.
I never really got into the Jonas Brothers. I was supposed to
freaking meet them.
What?
So do tell. Okay. I can't remember the year because I try to block this memory out of my head, but so me and my best friend, we saw that they were gonna put on a show in Greensburg at the Palace Theater during their tour or whatever.
Okay.
So my friend's mom got like some sort of permission, 'cause she worked, I can't remember what she was involved with, but she got some sort of permission that we would be able to run food for them and meet them like before the show. And literally a week before the concert, they broke up.
The audacity that they had to crush your hopes and dreams. Those bastards.
I was like, how are you going to marry me now?
Yeah.
You would have took one look at me and fell in love.
It would have been like a great meet cute story. Which right? Also, I don't really understand that phrase, but I know people use it.
I've never heard it, but me still.
You never heard it? Heather, have you heard that phrase?
No.
What the fuck? Yeah, it's like what's your meet cute thing? Also, on iZombie, I don't know if either of you have watched it, which you fucking should. I know I've talked about it on the podcast before, but the one store, it's like a meat place, and they call it meat cute, but it's spelled like meat that you eat. Yeah. Pun. You both are like
so punny.
Fucking crazy looks. It's a thing. Yo, everyone listening, you fucking know what I'm talking about, right? Yes. I'm not fucking crazy. Google it.
No one raised their hand.
You're the one answering your own question.
Yo, what are they going to do? Respond to me right now? They're fucking bitches. Why does everyone gang up on me? Like, when I hang out with Tyler and Landon, which is my brother, if you don't know people. But they gang up on me. I'm like, why do I even hang out with you guys? Rude. God. I'm always the victim. Yeah.
No, but I am too, like with all my friends, family, everything, I always end up getting being the one that's picked on.
Yeah, bitches,
because we're short, and short people are funny getting like angry.
We all are, actually.
I'm probably the shortest.
Megan, how tall are you?
5'3.5".
Oh yeah, she's got inches on me.
Heather, I honestly think you shrunk, because like I feel like we used to be basically the same height.
You haven't even seen me in person and like...
No. But I mean, like, the last time we saw each other, or I think even before that, I was like, because I don't think I've grown. I'm literally the same height I've been.
I stopped growing in, like, sixth grade.
I've been 5'0" since fifth grade.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you were just standing up really tall when you were younger or something, you know?
Maybe you can have these ginormous titties that make me, like, hunch over. I swear it's just my posture.
I can relate.
Dude, have mad back issues.
Oh, I love it. Oh, God.
It's funny.
But
to the point I was going to say, and I totally forgot what I was going to say.
It's okay. We always have the end.
True. Well, now that we wasted 11 minutes of everyone's life,
No, but everyone loves these wasted minutes.
I hear a lot of people do. They're like, I feel like I'm just hanging out with you. I'm like, but that's what we're aiming for. So at least we're hitting the mark.
Yeah.
All right. So,
Heather, turning over to you. You're trying to show.
Okay. So here we go. I did the Pizza Bomber.
Oh, I know this one.
Wait, I thought I knew it, but I don't know if that's the name I know.
Okay, well, there's so many names in the mix, so let me start naming some people. So, it happened in Erie, Pennsylvania. Like I said, I went to school at Mercyhurst University, and so whenever this whole documentary got big a couple years ago, we, like, drove through all the places where shit was going down, and it was, like, really surreal to see it all. The guy who ended up dying, and, like, huge spoiler alert, if you want to watch the documentary on Netflix, Evil Genius, stop listening right now. But so the guy who ends up dying is Brian Wells, and, like, the evil mastermind behind it is Marjorie Deal Armstrong. So, okay.
As soon as you mentioned the documentary title, I know what you're talking about. Go ahead.
Yes. Now I think I don't know it.
Okay.
I think I watched a different – well, you said that there's multiple names for it. I think I watched a different documentary on it, but I'm going to wait and see, and then I'll let you know later if I'm thinking of something.
Okay, yeah. So the documentary on Netflix is called Evil Genius. It's literally amazing, so I recommend it. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 recommend.
There's also a book that just, not recently, but it's kind of newer, called Pizza Bomber, The Untold Story of America's Most Shocking Bank Robbery by Ed Palatella and Jerry Clark. And so Jerry Clark is one of the FBI agents, which I'll get to. So it's a pretty factual book. If you're into reading, I'm not, so.
If you're into reading,
I'm not either. I don't know how Jaden does, how she'll, like, reread books, and I'm like,
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm rereading, like, my favorite book right now.
Okay, so, I already warned Jaden, like, this, it's all over the place, and from what I've seen the documentary, and it's also kind of all over the place with information. Mm-hmm. So just bear with me. It's not going to be very organized.
Dude, ours never is.
That's literally the modus operandi of this whole podcast.
Perfect. Okay. Yes. So it took more than 7 years to investigate this whole thing. So we'll start way back on August 28th, 2003.
Ooh.
And so that's when Brian Wells died. That's his actual death day. And that's when all this crazy stuff was happening. And he died outside a PNC bank.
Which reminds me that I'm so mad that there's not a PNC where I live now, because I need to get fucking checks, because my landlord requires checks. If I was a landlord, I'd be like, fucking Venmo me that shit. Like,
that's what my landlord does. Thank
God. It's 2021. When do I ever fucking use checks? So now I have to, like, drive back to Greensburg sometime when a PNC bank is open to get fucking checks.
Fuck. Wait, this. Your landlord is, like, young, too.
Right?
To each their own, I guess.
They probably like checks because then they have, like, a receipt.
Well, doesn't Venmo, like, it fucking shows you.
You have to, like, screenshot it, and that's not, like, as professional. Is it an
LLC? What'd you say?
Does he have an LLC?
No, it's just this wife and husband who bought, like, the row of houses. Oh. And they're, like, fixing them up. Like, they're not even, like, architects or builders or anything. Like, she's a nurse.
That's kind of like my landlord. She's a hairstylist.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Side note.
All right, so Marjorie, I'm just going to call her Marge the whole time, because Marjorie Deal Armstrong is just too much.
No.
Gotcha. My girl Marge, she's been a little cuckoo since her early days. So she is our key mastermind, but then there's so many other people involved in this. So I'll try and tell you the backstory first.
Okay.
So Marge
was involved with this guy. I call him Roth throughout everything, but his real name is William A. Rothstein. Okay.
Okay. Wow.
So Rothstein, Roth, and Marge, that's actually her former fiance. And so she still was like friends with him, hanging out with him a lot. And then this guy, Stockton, lived with Rothstein. And so he was a part of this diabolical plan. And then who's Barnes? What's his full name? Hold on. Kenneth E. Barnes. So we'll just refer to him as Barnes. They're all involved in this plan. Started with everyone just trying to think of like a way to get money fast. So Marge and all of them in Barnes's home, which had been known as a whorehouse,
love that,
crack house, and this is
even better
for a little bit later.
Great rep.
Yeah, they're not good people, and I have some fun facts for all of them. All of them have like a rap sheet.
Oh, I can't wait.
They're all just hanging out in the crack house one night and trying to think of ways that they can make money. And Marge suggests that Barnes kills her father so she can get her inheritance, and said that, and then he's like, okay, I will, for $200,000. And this is back in 2003. And so then they come up with this plan to, it was called the collar bomb bank robbery, was made. So they were trying to rob a bank to get the money to pay Barnes to then kill her dad to get even more money.
That's fucking nuts. That's a very roundabout way to do things. And also $200,000 to kill someone. Nothing.
Exactly. So it's Marge, Roth, Stockton, but none of them want to be the one that robbed the bank. So this is where someone else comes into play. So Jessica, and we find this information out like years later, Jessica Hoopsick, who was a sex worker.
Oh my God.
Who
fucking love that you just used that term.
Yes. She was, you know, making that money. Props to her. However, she's a shitty person. So, like,
being a sex worker,
she's a fucking bitch. So, she had a relationship. I don't know if it was through work or they actually had a relationship with Brian Wells. Okay. And so, this is how we got involved with all of them. She suggests to Barnes while she's there at the crack house trying to get drugs that they use him as the guy to rob the bank because he's kind and he had a naive manner to him. And so she tells him this information in exchange for drug money, like he paid her off for this grand idea. And so we get to our poor Brian Wells. He was a pizza delivery driver at Mama Mia's pizzeria for 10 years. And so
poor baby.
This, it gets kind of confusing. There's no evidence. There's some evidence, but there's no hard evidence on how much he knew about the plan. There's evidence that he was talking about the robbery and people overheard him up to a month before it happened. But his family thinks differently, and they claim like he never would have done that. All that. But there is hard evidence of him leaving the Barnes crack house the night before the robbery. And so they all met the night before, and they were trying to just go over the plan and all of that. And so he knew the plan, and he knew about the bomb, but he was under the impression that it was a fake bomb, just to be used as like an alibi in case he got caught.
Yeah.
So here we get to the part of the day. So like I said, it is.
That's interesting because I didn't realize that he was there the night before. Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's That's what they've said.
That changes my mind a little bit.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, even if he wanted to rob the bank, whatever. It's robbing a bank. People do it all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, he still didn't deserve to die.
No, not the way he did. Because, I know this case. This is the case that I was thinking of. But this case is insane.
It is insane. And there's just, like, so many pieces to it. So, just bear with me.
And it's, like, they're all important, too. Mm-hmm. Go you for covering this one.
Oh, thank you. So, we're at the day. It's August 28th, 2013. Brian Wells is at work. And a little after 1:30, the pizza place receives a call from a payphone at a nearby gas station. The owner who answered the phone couldn't hear whoever was on the other line. And passed it to Wells and then had the order go through with two pizzas to 8631 Peach Street. And if you are familiar with Erie, Peach Street is like the main street. Like everything is on Peach Street.
Yeah.
So, and that's where the pizza place was. And that's where the PNC Bank was, which I'll get to. Like it's all on Peach Street.
Have you ever eaten there or gone to that?
I have gone there. I have not eaten there. I just like went to kind of be nosy.
I would have done the same thing.
Dude, you should have ordered the pizza and be like, I need two pizzas.
It looks like not good. No offense. If they're still open, like, I'm sorry, but. Yeah.
They're not going to sponsor us now.
Yeah. Oh, address was to a transmitting tower for a radio station at WSEE-TV at the end of a dirt road. And so when he gets there, he finds out that the plot had been changed and that the bomb was real. So I don't know if they directly told him or they just kind of grabbed him and strapped it on him.
Why was it necessary for them to change the plot? Like, unless it's, like, to get rid of him as evidence, but there are other people still involved. So...
yeah, good question. So that is part of it, this to kind of get rid of any witnesses. And because he wasn't really... I don't think he was a part of the plan where he was, like, getting any of the money necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And... that's like some of the fun facts I have at the end. Like Marjorie was very like she was a womanizer. She was known for just having like this casting spell over men, and like her and Rothstein had a past. Like he was willing to do anything for her. And then with Barnes wanted money from her, so like he was willing to do it. But like this guy didn't have any, like she didn't have a hold on this guy, so she just wanted to kind of get rid of him.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, poor guy. He's just trying to deliver fucking pizzas.
I know. He probably just wanted to make the sex worker happy so he can have some booty.
Honestly.
Right? Wouldn't most?
Yeah. And so this is the part where, like, again, his family doesn't agree. Like, his family says that they were strangers and that they forced him to participate in, like, the whole pizza delivery, like he was just doing his job, but like there is some evidence that shows that he did know them and this wasn't like just him doing it.
Yeah, because that's a theory I was familiar with. I didn't know if there was the other part, but I knew that, like, from what I heard, he was forced to.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, I heard.
Well, I mean, in the end, he's forced because when he sees that it's a bomb. He, and like, I guess there was a gunshot, or at least he was held at gunpoint, and apparently, like, Stockton, Marge, and Rothstein, and Barnes were all there. So I guess Stockton put the bomb around his neck. And that bomb was put on him by Stockton. He was given a homemade shotgun that looked like a cane.
Yes. I remember this. Okay. Random fact, like, side note to it. Like, in the...
But, like, why was that necessary if you're, like, robbing a bank? Just, like...
because they just wanted him to have, like, a weapon out in the open ready to use.
Mm. Also, what did these people do for a fucking living? Like, I thought they were crackheads. How are they, like, MacGyvering a fucking shotgun as a cane?
This... okay, so, actually... Rothstein was like a shop teacher part-time. And he, there's also like when they had to search their houses, they said that like they were all compulsive hoarders, like Rothstein, and then Barnes, obviously his place was not clean.
Side note, me and my cousin got into such a hoard, like hoarders, like binge. Instantly, I felt so gross with myself. I'm not a hoarder, but I was like, I'm a hoarder.
Dude, fucking me. Ask Tyler. I love like dumb knickknack shit or like boxes. When I get things that are like in boxes, I
never know when you're gonna need a box.
Right? And Tyler's like, Jaden, fucking get rid of it. Like literally on my desk right now is the ColourPop mirror box, like my Barbie mirror. It's sitting on my desk, but I'm not gonna throw it away. Well, this one is decorative, so but like. Just throw it away, Jaden. So maybe I need to watch the Hoarder show, and then I'll finally clean out my office.
Because I'm telling you, if you watch Hoarders, you clean everything. And that's also how I get motivated to go to the gym as I watch my 600-pound life.
Tyler and I went, fun fact, when we went down to Florida, it was the year that we got engaged. One of the days, like, I can't remember if it was me or Tyler that didn't feel good. So we stayed in the hotel room. And we watched My 600-pound Life.
Like, don't, and I'm not saying, like, I watch that to, like, I'm not trying to be mean to on the show. But then I'm like, I need to work out. Like,
yeah.
And seeing how much they lose makes me want to, like, I didn't mean that.
No, I feel you. God, Megan, you're such a terrible fucking human being.
I know, I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. Raise your hand if you've been personally victimized by Megan Malinak.
Fat shame. She fat shamed me.
No. Dude, I need to go to the gym, though.
Yeah, I didn't go today because of this, so I'm blaming you guys. But I also didn't go last Thursday or the one before. Oh, gotcha.
Everyone
searching, so I blame you guys anyways.
Everyone listening, if you are looking for a sign to go to the gym, this is it. It's not my sign, but it's yours.
Also a sign to stop hoarding. No, I will tell you what has made me a better hoarder not a hoarder anymore, is having to pack your life for 2 years into two suitcases and one carry-on when you go to a foreign country. Like when I moved to Uganda, that's how many bags I had. And then even living over there, like you have to carry everything everywhere and you get tired of it.
That is very true. I didn't even think of that.
So I'm like so much better now. I'm like, don't need that. Nope, don't need it.
I am a minimalist now.
Yes. And when you just like living over there, like they don't value stupid shit like we do.
Yeah,
it's like it was such a life lesson, but they also it's two-sided because they don't waste anything either. So like the boxes thing, like they don't waste that because they're going to use it for something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But also like souvenirs are like, what the fuck?
Right. No, that totally makes sense.
I can't. Like the first time I went to the beach with Tyler and his family, we were there for like a week. I literally took the most luggage out of everyone. I had two suitcases, like two big duffel bags. I was like, oh my God. And they were filled to the fucking brim. Like they were heavy as fuck.
To be fair, you don't know how the weather's gonna be. Do you need a sweatshirt? Shorts?
For every season.
Yeah. Exactly.
And what if right now when I'm packing, I'm feeling like wearing this outfit, but that day I'm not? What am I gonna just do? Like fuck myself? No, you gotta have options for like the different moods you're gonna be in, you know?
Honestly,
but I was like, I didn't want anyone to pick it up because I knew it was so heavy and I was like embarrassed. I was like, I'll just carry it, it's fine. Just kidding, I'm pretty sure his dad probably carried it, but
independent woman.
You don't need no mans,
only out of shame though. Boop, boop.
All right, so also another major
tangent.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that's like all the backstory. So now onto the good part. Well, not really the good part. I guess the awful part. But
we all know what you mean.
Yes.
So onto the robbery. So He was told to quietly enter the PNC Bank at Summit Town Center on Peach Street. Again, if you're from Erie, you'll know where this is. I don't think it's there anymore. I think it's a McDonald's now, but, you know, top of Peach Street. You know what the Summit Town Center is. There was a note, and I don't know if he wrote the note or if they wrote it for him, that he was supposed to slide to the teller demanding $250,000 and to use his shotgun to threaten anyone who didn't cooperate or tried to flee. So he entered the bank at 2:30, and witnesses saw him wait in line. When he got to the teller, began sucking on a lollipop, which is so funny because everyone does that at the bank.
Yeah. I was going to say same. Get those gum-gums. But also, side note, she's paying this dude $200,000 to kill her dad, and they only robbed the bank for $250,000?
It makes no sense.
So, like...
I don't know.
Like, I feel like they're so smart, yet so dumb. Like, get more money.
Maybe they thought that if they stole more than that, it would be more of, like, a big deal for the banks trying to find out who it was. But, like, banks probably have insurance to cover
stuff. Right. Also, Jaden is wonderful at asking questions that you don't know the answer to.
Yeah.
I'll make up an answer. So, don't worry.
No one will know.
Teacher in me. If I don't have the answer, I'm going to make it up.
Dude, I'll fucking believe you.
Oh, but me too. Also, I'm the most gullible person.
Okay, perfect. That's why. the note as well, it stated that the bomb would explode in 15 minutes and that full amount must be handed over within that time. However, dun dun dun, the teller was unable to access the vault that quickly and gave Wells a bag containing only, and this will blow your mind, only $8,702. What? So I'm like, at this point, Marge and the other guys didn't even know that they wouldn't have gotten that much money, but I just think that's hilarious.
Oof. But like, okay, here's another one of my questions. Why couldn't he have just pretended it was all in there? And like, I guess
he might have thought that it was all in there anyway. Like, $8,000 probably looks like a lot of money when you get it.
Yeah. But also, I'm assuming when you're robbing a bank, your adrenaline is through the roof.
True.
Yeah. So, like, you're probably not even thinking about it. You're just, like, you see a big wad of cash, and you're like, I'm good. Let's go.
Yeah. And I think.
I mean, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think he also, like, did drugs occasionally. So, I don't know if he was tweaking, like, on drugs or, like.
Yeah.
Being the word. You're, like, on drugs, and you feel superhuman.
Hi.
For lack of a better word, hi. No, like the extra kind of drugs that make you feel like you can, like nothing can stop you.
It's like roid rage.
Yeah, like kind of like that. I don't know.
But he not in an angry sense.
He might have been feeling superhuman because he might have been coming from the crack house.
But also, now that I think about it, they are probably the ones that have to take the collar off. So they would probably count the money. So before they took it off, right?
I mean,
it never made it that far, Jaden.
Well, just stop asking questions. Okay, so anyway, he gets his 8 G's. He's exiting the bank. He's appearing very confident, according to witnesses, swinging his cane gun around like Charlie Chaplin. So I swear to God, this is in the notes. I guess so. He went in the bank at 2:30. At 2:38, a witness called 911 from the bank, reporting a male leaving the bank with a bomb or something wrapped around his neck. And so this is the first known called incident. So that brings us to where he's outside. Actually, let me talk about the collar bomb first.
Yeah.
So it was triple banded metal hinged collar that worked like a large handcuff around his neck. It had 4 keyholes that went under this chin. a rectangular section that contained two pipe bombs and two kitchen timers. And one of the electric timers hung down over his chest.
Dude, that makes me feel so claustrophobic. I know. Hearing that.
And I guess the device also had several decoys, like unconnected wires, a toy cell phone, stickers bearing like deceptive warnings of some sort.
How did they get this?
They're literally crazy people.
What?
They're on crack.
Fair. Don't do crack.
There's no evidence that any of them were actually on crack, which is even scarier. Because maybe they weren't on crack.
People are freaking scary, man.
They are.
I mean, Marge is a sociopath, like, through and through.
Like, the definition.
She needs her own little Netflix. I mean, this is about her, but, like, she needs her own just from the beginning of life. Because she did some freaky shit before this, which I will get to. But, okay. So, about 15 minutes after Wells had left the bank, he had completed the first task of the little treasure hunt that they had sent him on. So he leaves the bank. It's about 10 minutes after he had left the bank. He was going to complete the second task on his list, since the first task was robbing the bank. When police saw him standing outside his car and arrested him. So I'm guessing he was acting weird, or maybe they had gotten there in time from the phone call.
Dude, cars. If you're committing crimes, stay away from cars. Bundy,
he had a treasure hunt to continue on.
I know, but like, everyone gets fucking arrested involving cars.
Well, they handcuffed him and they left him sitting on the ground in the parking lot of PNC Bank. And what Marge and Barnes and the other guy had told her, or told him to tell them, is if he got caught, to tell the cops that four black guys had placed the bomb around his neck, which is like so fucked up. Like, you know, I mean, there are some good old boys up in Erie, so I'm guessing they were probably hanging around some good old boys. But that part just, like, the whole thing's messed up, but that's probably the part that makes me the angriest.
Yeah. Any case where someone's like, oh, it was a black person. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Like, so dumb. And especially, like, this is from 2003, so things were even more different back there then. But, okay, so they're saying that four black guys had placed the bomb on his neck, given him the shotgun, and told him he would kill him unless he completed the robbery and several other tasks. So, you know, he followed through with telling the cops that, still trying to defend these people that he thought was his, were his friends.
Or maybe he was, like, oh, this is a fucking real bomb. Like, because remember they did the shotgun, like the pistol thing at the beginning to be like, yo, like, you better fucking do this. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's like, they're going to kill me if I don't, like, give up this story. So maybe, like, he's not protecting them. He's just trying to, like,
yes, he does say, like, they're going to kill me. He's, like, crying, begging them to take it off of him.
Yeah.
The officers didn't attempt to disarm the device, which is really sad. They were just focusing on clearing the area.
Yeah.
And making sure he couldn't.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
But which makes sense, because if there's a bomb, like, you have to get everyone out. Mm-hmm. As much as you want to help that person, like, you have to wait for, like, the bomb squad to come, because not just any police officer can go up and try to disarm a bomb.
Exactly. And then they also were trying to move people because they were making sure that he couldn't detonate the device, because some people are lying, saying that someone else put it on them, but they actually put it on themselves. But
this wasn't the
case.
Right.
So they weren't really trying to help him. They're just trying to keep him seated and away from a bunch of people.
Yeah. They actually called bomb people, right?
Yep. Just about to say.
Okay. We'll cut that out. So, she does that too. She'll call things out right before you say it. I'm like, sorry. I literally say that in the next sentence.
So the bomb squad was called at 3:04. So, mind you, he went in the bank at 2:30. He's outside around 2:38, 2:40. So, he's been outside for a little bit whenever the bomb squad is called at 3:04. At least 30 minutes after the first 911 call.
Can you see baby Nimbus here? You can't see him because he's kind of laying on my computer. But he's been here the whole time. That's why I keep, like, making faces down here.
He likes murder.
He does. Yeah, he's always chilling with us.
Oh, no, wait, hold on. He unmuted it. Okay. There we go.
So, the bomb squad was called at 3:04, and that was at least 30 minutes after the first 911 call, and about 10 minutes after Wells was outside and arrested.
But, like, which doesn't make sense, because you can like, clear a crowd and still be on your fucking walkie-talkie that's on your fucking shoulder being like, hey, I need the fucking bomb squad.
Okay, but you also have to remember that this is 2003.
They have radios, right?
I get that, but, like, they just sucked back then.
But also, like, in Erie, they never really experienced anything like this.
True.
But still.
Erie wasn't, like, a big...
But still, bomb squad. Or you at
Erie
least...
is, like, a bigger Greensburg. Like, it's nothing... It's not
I know,
a big
but, like, city. Common sense. Going to your, like, dispatch, yo, there's a bomb thing. So even if you don't know, someone should have the fucking bright idea, right?
In a perfect world.
Yes. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So, bomb squad was called at 3:04 at 3:18, 3 minutes before the bomb squad arrived because there was traffic congestion. And if you know Peachtree, you know. If you know, you know. At 3:18, the bomb detonated and blasted a fist-sized hole in Wells' chest, killing him in seconds. And what is also so crazy is that, you know, while they didn't call the bomb squad right away, while the bomb squad didn't get there right away, the news coverage was there, and they were broadcasting this on live TV. Now, the explosion wasn't on live TV just because they were having network problems. Otherwise,
Thank God, could you imagine?
But, like, him like, crying on the ground with the bomb on his neck, like, was broadcasted, and they show it in the Netflix documentary.
Yeah,
that poor baby. But, I mean, at least it killed him instantly, you know? He, like, didn't fucking suffer.
Very, very true. So, now we're on to the treasure hunt part. Then I'll go through kind of, like, the whole process of everyone getting arrested. So, after they had let his body cool and they were sure that there wasn't going to be another bomb going off, they found 9 pages of lengthy handwritten instructions addressed bomb hostage, explaining the directions for him to rob the bank. So, that was, like, on his body. They also included a treasure hunt listing a series of strictly timed tasks of collecting keys that would delay detonation and eventually defuse the bomb. And also warned him that he would be under constant surveillance and that any attempts to contact authorities would result in the detonation. And then it said, act now, think later, or you will die at the bottom of the instructions in all capital letters. Yeah, and so they do get to the point where the people involved admit that they were watching him. And so I don't know if they detonated it because the cops showed up or what caused that.
But didn't it, like, they didn't detonate it for, like, half an hour or so after, like, the cops made contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess maybe they just weren't watching then.
Or maybe there's, like, a timer that when you press to detonate, it gives you 30 minutes. Or however long.
That's a good point. I don't know. I don't make bombs.
I don't know how to, like, I don't know anything about anything, so.
We can't even figure out why there's an echo. We can't make a bomb.
I mean, it clearly didn't go as planned, so maybe they were just kind of freaking out, deciding what to do or what.
That's probably it.
But... Yeah, that's all the background information. So now we get to where everyone got in trouble and arrested and stuff.
Gotcha. Good part.
So this is the part that Jaden, I'm sure, loves because she actually knows what all these words mean.
Right?
I'm so glad everyone thinks I'm, like, smart.
I don't know. You're a district attorney.
Yeah, like, you're kind of smart.
Yeah, but the other day I put – so we had the – you know, so instead of using dryer sheets, instead of using dryer sheets, they have those balls that you put in the dryer. It's, like, more eco-friendly. The washer was, like – kind of smelly from like when we moved in, so I was like, and we put the essential oils on the dryer balls, and I was like, well, I'll just put the dryer balls in the washing machine. Apparently you shouldn't do that. So the instructions say that you're supposed to put them in a sock in the washing machine. We had thrown the packaging away again, hoard everything. If I had the packaging, I could have read the directions. But so, yeah, I put them in there. The one, like, exploded. And, yeah, so I'm not smart at, like, real regular people things.
So your book's smart, not street smart.
But it's not even street smart. It's just, like,
common sense smart.
Life skills.
But it's not. It's just, like, if I was a housewife, I would be a big fucking fail. Like, I can't.
I feel that.
I don't even want to succeed in any of that.
Right? So I'm so glad. I'm so thankful for Tyler because he knows how to do everything. Like, and he does it. And because I can't, you know. He makes fun of me the whole time, but, you know, he still does it. But
you guys compliment each other so well.
Oh, thanks. I'm annoying. And he's not perfect.
This love talk is disgusting.
Let's get back to the case.
Can we talk about murder?
Murder.
What everyone is really here for.
Okay, so here's my little timeline part of the murder. So, all this happened, all the stuff I was just saying happened August 28th. Then August 31st, Robert Panetti dies, and he was, I guess, they don't really say how involved he was. It was ruled an accidental OD, but I guess he was a coworker of Wells that might have been in on it. So was it actually an OD, or did he know something that he should?
Yeah. I hate questions that will never be answered because the person's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't.
How inconvenient of them, Megan. Like the audacity they have. They couldn't give you those answers because they died.
So this is the part with the dump part that I was kind of confused about. So then in September 13th, we move on to William Rothstein. So the guy I've been calling Roth. He dumped some debris at a landfill, so I don't know what he was dumping, but calls the cops shortly after that to report James Roden's body, so another new character, and how it was stuffed in a freezer in his garage. So this is only like 2 weeks after the bank robbery. So the cops come. And he's blaming Marge. And James Roden was Marge's boyfriend.
Oh, my God. The inner canoodling right now has me so...
It's so messy. Like, Marge is a messy bitch.
Oh!
She's getting shit done.
Really. I told you, she has a bad past. Like, this is part of her history. She has a violent history with men that she dates. So I don't know how Rothstein managed to live this long. So I guess, so he's blaming Marge. And so September 21st comes around. Allegedly, she shot him before the 28th, so before the bank, robbery at her house, and Rothstein helped move the body. And so she's charged with his death on the 21st. So like after, so the September 20th is when Rothstein tells the cops, and the 21st is whenever she's charged. So the police question Rothstein in the Wells case. And I don't even know how they made those types of connections. They definitely say it in the documentary, but I truly don't know.
Okay.
But, you know, they somehow know something, and they start asking him questions.
Okay.
And he, the only thing he says is, oh, well, I may have used the payphone that Wells has used before. And it just, like, doesn't make any sense because
no.
Well, payphone thing is that someone used the payphone to call and make the pizza order. It's never that Wells used a payphone. So it was just like,
yeah,
you're lying. So then that's at the end of September. We move all the way on to March of 2004. So on to the next year.
Oh, okay. March what?
They didn't give me a specific date, just March.
It's my birth month, so it's still
– Yeah. Well, when you said 2004, I was like, ooh, March 4th. And that's why I got so excited. But
nope.
It's the year. Never mind. I retract my excitement. Continue.
So she had been in some sort of holding cell, whatever they do with people when they need more evidence. From September to March, and in March they and she had already been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, but you know they're realizing her bipolar disorder is getting worse because she's fucking crazy.
I was gonna say there's no way that she doesn't have any type of like mental like. What is that? Not stability, but like
instability.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, and the crazy thing about her, and like it, you'll kind of see it through the rest of the timeline, like she has the ability to like turn it on and off, like she can turn her crazy off.
Gotcha.
So I think she did this to kind of get what she wanted, to go somewhere. So by doing this, she was transferred to the Mayview State Hospital near Pittsburgh for a psych eval. So it's kind of prolonging any sort of trial.
Yeah.
Also, when you said Pittsburgh, I was like, ooh, we're in Pittsburgh. But then I remembered that we were literally just in fucking Erie. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that too when I read it. So don't blame. So that was March. So by July 30th, this is where it starts to get a little crazy.
Okay. If it hasn't already.
Rothstein, at the age of 60, dies of cancer and says nothing on his deathbed.
What a fucking bitch.
No evidence. And he had known that he had cancer. So, yeah.
He should have fucking tattled.
I know.
I don't understand how some people don't have, like, a conscience.
He loved Marge. I'm telling you, like, she was able to brainwash these men.
Men do not fall in love with psychotic women. I mean, we're people all psychotic. Named Marge. But
just kidding. If your name's Marge, I'm just kidding.
I've never met a Marge I like.
Me either. The only other Marge I know of is fictional, and she is Harry Potter's, like, kind of aunt. Not kind of. I guess she's actually the aunt.
She's and nasty. She's
nasty. So two Marges.
But hey, if you're a chill Marge, we like you. I don't know who this is going to reach out to. Someone will be sitting there like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Well, can we all agree that Karens are just like, we need to cancel that name?
Yeah.
Oh, I think, yeah. Yes.
Okay. I guarantee and Chads.
I have an aunt Karen. That's all I'll say.
Love that. You plead the fifth.
That's all I'll say about that.
That's all I have to say about that. Name that movie.
Forrest Gump.
Okay.
I got you. Denae.
All right, so back to murder.
For the 20th time.
So July 30th, he died. now we're, and that's 2004. We're moving on to January 7th, 2005. So about 6 months later, Marge pleads guilty, but mentally ill, to third degree murder in Roden's case. So like her ex-boyfriend.
I mean, she obviously is. But like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she gets 7 to 20 years in state prison. And March 16th, she gets transferred to the state correctional institution in Muncie. Okay, so.
I'm angry. Also, I didn't realize these, I know it's like only like 60, but still, I didn't realize these people were that old.
Yeah. So, a month later, in April 20th, and then in May 23rd,
turn up.
Jerry Clark. That is funny, actually.
Thank you.
Jerry Clark and Jason Wick. So Jerry Clark was with the FBI, and Jason Wick is with some like task force. Interview her, and all she talks about is Rothstein, but doesn't answer any of their questions. So like she's just kind of beating around the bush, acting like she's crazy and not understanding their questions, but she's just being herself.
Yeah.
Manipulating some more men, or at least trying to.
Fuck Marge.
I know. We hate her.
Yeah.
So then July 5th, they have another interview with her at the state prison in Cambridge Springs, which I have no idea where that is.
I don't know where anything is. Pennsylvania.
She says she killed Roden to silence him in the Wells plot. She was scared that she was scared to go into detail before because she would implicate her in the Wells case.
But she's saying it now.
Exactly, which makes no sense, but I mean
she's a dumb bitch. She's drinking a fucking dumb bitch juice.
Yeah.
But then because I don't know if she knew that Rothstein was dead at this point. I think they had told her. But she is just trying to blame everything on him, regardless if he's dead or not.
Naturally.
And so she blames Rothstein in the bomb making and like gives details about how she saw kitchen timers that he was using for the bomb and all that. And that she was a fourth of a mile from the bank whenever Wells was killed.
Wait, is that supposed to help her?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's trying to say that she wasn't there to, like, detonate the bomb, I guess.
But
I don't think you really need to be there to detonate.
Yeah.
Well, later she tells us that she was in a car watching him. So I guess in her mind, she's like, well, I was there, so I need to come up with a lie saying I wasn't there.
Gotcha.
I don't know. For as masterminded as she seems to be, some things are really dumb that she does.
Yeah.
And so in that interview too, so this is all still July 5th day's interview, she talks about making a deal, but like kept talking, and so she never made a deal with them.
Dumb bitch.
Yeah. Right. So now we move on to July 19th and 20th, right after my birthday. Another interview. And this time the interview was with Floyd A. Stockton Jr. So Stockton was the guy that allegedly put the bomb on Wells' neck.
Okay.
And so he was Rothstein's old roommate. And it's actually funny. So let me just tell you Stockton's little rap sheet. He's a convicted rapist of a disabled teen. He's disgusting. And he lived as a fugitive at Rothstein's house. So he was, I guess he was harboring a fugitive.
What the fuck? That's literally like...
Like, these people were scumbags.
Oh my God. I have no words.
And I'll get to, I'll just tell you about Rothstein now, too. So he was implicated in a 1977 murder after giving a friend a gun that was used in a murder... In a romantic rival. And he tried to destroy the weapon afterward. And so he actually was granted immunity for his testimony. So I guess he was never in any trouble. Because I was also wondering, how was he part-time shop teacher with a record? Yeah. But I guess he never had any sort of like actual record.
Yeah.
And he didn't, I mean, it wasn't that bad what he did, because he didn't actually shoot anyone, but still.
Yeah.
So yeah, Stockton said they were involved. Oh, he starts explaining how Rothstein and Marge were involved in the Wells thing because they needed money, and is like throwing them under the bus. Then we move a little month after that, on August 11th and the 18th and September 13th. All three of these days, they interview Kenneth Barnes.
Gotcha.
This is the crack house guy.
Yep.
And so he apparently became friends with Marge because they were fishing buddies.
What?
I don't
fishing know. Buddies. Oh, hey, Megan. You can go fishing with them.
Oh, yeah. I'm in a fish club at work.
Camp. I think he's dead now.
Oh, rough. Darn it. Just missed it. The audacity.
I know. We could have had a friend.
I've literally never said.
Audacity.
What'd you say?
So Jaden's word of the day. Audacity.
I was literally going to say, I've never said the word more. Oh, God. God.
Sorry, I'm just thinking of
it. No, you're good. No, you're fine.
Okay, so Barnes is being interviewed. He's saying how Marge solicited him to kill her father because her father was spending her inheritance and she wanted him to stop it.
But if they're that old, that means the dad has to be even older. So is he really going to be around that long? Just fucking wait. Don't kill people.
Let me see how old she was.
The shit people do for money.
God.
I will never understand.
No.
She, in 2017, she was 68. So this is like 2005, like 12 years before then. So she was only like 56. But at the time of the murder, she was like 53. Uh-huh. All that math in my head. Oh my God.
I'm proud of you.
I'm impressed.
I'm not good with like lining up ages with dates because like, so for juveniles, like it'll say their birth date and I'm sitting there like, and I got to figure like out how old they are. So I literally made a chart. So I knew what date corresponded to what age.
I love that. Like,
in order to make that chart, I had to go to my friend in the office and be like, hey, can you help me? Because I'm literally sitting over there and I can't figure it out. The only one I know is 2004 because I know how old my brother is.
Yeah, I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
Wait, do you have like the birth year?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just subtract it from 2021?
Yes, that's what you do. But I like literally couldn't figure that equation out.
But it's also hard based on the month.
True. True.
Also true. But I was like just looking for a general like, oh, 2007 equals probably this age.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, the older you are, the harsher we're right. gonna do than when you're younger. But anyway.
All right, we've got 1.5 pages left, baby.
We got it.
Home stretch. So Barnes is throwing everyone under the bus. Stockton's throwing her under the bus. So we move on. This is August, September. Now we move on to December, and we're still in the year of 2005. So December 9th, 12th, and 14th, Barnes meets with the FBI for more interviews, says how him, Marge, Rothstein, Stockton, and Wells met August 27th, so the day before the robbery, to review the robbery plot and how him and Marge were the ones that watched Wells through binoculars before he died in a car. So this is kind of where he's like throwing her under the bus.
Yeah.
So then we move on to February 10th, 2006. So we're into the next year. They meet with Marge again, and she's very upset when she hears what Barnes is saying. Denies being with him and claims that Rothstein framed her, and so she's just throwing Rothstein under the bus all over again, this poor guy. And he's dead, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. Right.
And then a couple days after that, so February 14th, they interview Barnes again, and he's upset because what Marge is saying.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, they're all turning on each other.
He's a liar, denying everything. So we keep moving forward a month, March 21st and May 5th. They search Barnes's crack house residence, and they find bomb-making components and other items. And I'm guessing the other items are probably like crack pipes. But
also, why do you still have this shit? The murder is years ago. You're being fucking investigated. Get rid of the evidence. What?
No, don't. We want them to get caught.
Good point. I hadn't thought about that, actually.
But, like, fucking, I'm so glad criminals are dumb, because, like, what? What?
I mean, maybe they were building other bombs. Who the hell knows with these people?
Honestly, though.
No.
So, then May 10th, it's Marge's last interview that they have documented. So I guess they had interviewed her about a total of 8 times. Her lawyer then encourages her to talk at this point, to try and, I don't know if they were trying to make a deal or just to get any information so they can kind of like have leniency toward her. But on that day, they take her on a ride in a car, and she points out all the places she was throughout the day. I guess in her defense, I don't know, or if she's trying to like own up to things.
I don't know. I'm trying to like think of like why you would have your client do that.
They mention it in the documentary, and I don't remember. But then, so that's May. Moving forward to, oh, this is the entire next year. So the next year in July 9th, the federal grand jury indicts Marge and Barnes on felonies of armed bank robbery, conspiracy to commit armed bank robbery, and using a destructive device in a crime of violence. And then Wells and Rothstein were indicted as, or unindicted, I'm sorry, unindicted as conspirators. Can't talk.
Why weren't they charged with murder?
Wells?
No, Marge and them.
So I don't know why they weren't there, but later, I believe.
Okay, sorry, then we'll just take that out.
Or it might have been because they claimed that Stockton put the thing on his neck.
But I wonder even if like the least like conspiracy.
Yeah, I don't
commit know. Murder.
But at least,
because as long as you make a substantial step, like toward it, like.
But know. Also, they probably haven't gotten the correct story on what happened because everyone keeps blaming each other. They can't get like pinpoint it down.
I know, but like still, you just need like an agreement.
I don't know anything about law.
And I think that might have been part of the documentary too, why Wells' family was mad because no one was ever like charged in the death of him. But you know, when I get to how long they were in jail, it's like the same sort of thing.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
So Stockton gets immunity. Deal for agreeing to testify against Barnes and Marge. So then another year goes by. We're in July 29th, 2008. The U.S. District Judge, Sean J. McLaughlin, rules Marge yet again incompetent for trial.
That's so frustrating.
They said mainly because of her bipolar. So I think she was doing other stuff too. Mm.
Well, her brain's probably fried from all the drugs she's done.
Literally.
Seriously.
So she's ordered more mental health exams. So then we move a little bit forward. September 3rd and December 3rd. So Barnes pleads guilty September 3rd. And he's sentenced to 45 years in federal prison and agrees to testify against Marge.
Okay.
And September 8th, we're moving right along another year. September 8th, 2009, she's finally competent to stand trial.
Good.
And also Barnes was 54 whenever he was pleading guilty.
Okay.
Not that important, but then that's September 8th, 2009, competent to stand trial. But then March 2010,
mm-hmm.
you know, trials take a while. They find a cancerous lump in her neck and remove it, but she's diagnosed with glandular cancer. I couldn't read my notes. Glandular cancer. Which is like one of the worst ones.
Is it painful?
I say yes.
I'm not sure, but like you have glands all over your body, so I know it spreads pretty rapidly.
Yeah.
And so in August, so that was March. In August, the doctor reports that she has 3 to 7 years to live. However, the prosecutor continues the trial. He said if they gave her less time, he might not have. But he's like, I don't care, this bitch. We're yeah. still taking her to trial. She can live the rest of her days in a courtroom.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, she deserves to.
Yeah, so that's August 2009. In October, they began the jury selection.
Okay.
Then, November 1st, 2010, finally, 7 years later. After 11 hours and 30 minutes and 2 days of deliberating, they convict her of all the charges.
Nice.
Good. So I don't think they ever added murder to that. And February 28, 2011, she's sentenced to life in prison plus 30 with no parole.
Good. Did she die?
So,
ooh.
Guys... April 2017, at the age of 68, in a federal women's prison near Fort Worth, Texas. So I don't know how the hell she ended up in Texas.
I don't know.
But she lived another 7 years. Like, I mean, they predicted 3 to 7, but did she really have to live to the latter?
Right?
Yes. I want her to rot in prison. Yeah.
Right? And so... just another little fun fact about Marge, and I wanted to tell you about her bad history. In 1984, she shot her boyfriend, Robert Thomas, 6 times while he was seated on the couch, and she was acquitted on self-defense claims, which I'm like, you don't shoot someone 6 times.
When they're sitting on the couch.
And then her husband... and several other partners had died under suspicious circumstances. So, like, she was married. That man had died. Then other partners. And then that the most recent one. So, it's like, how many guys had to die?
Megan, this is right up your fucking alley with right? all your fucking poisoners.
And so, that's all I have to say about that.
First wow. off, what I have to say is you did fantastic.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the teacher. I'm into, like, I know how to talk a lot because that's all I do is talk to children all day.
I feel that. Oh, my gosh. That was awesome.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for, like, joining.
This yeah. murder was super special to me. Just because of my college town and a girl I went to grad school with was from Erie. And she went to school with the FBI investigator, Jerry Clark's son. So, like, she knew a lot about all this.
Wow. It's so cool when there's, like, that, like, personal connection somehow.
Yeah.
It's fucking wild.
I know. Man. I'm still pissed that she died. Like,
yeah.
I know.
Now, I don't want, like, if you're a normal person.
Normal person
who never struggle with cancer, and I hope it's not painless. And but if you are an evil freaking person, I want you in pain and to live through it and just. Ugh. I'm so angry.
Oh, I love it.
I definitely feel like I'm a very strong believer in karma.
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
She probably died a painful death, and she honestly deserved it.
Yeah. Yep. And you know her ass isn't up in heaven, you know? Like,
that was nuts.
It's also, like, anything bad that happens in my life, I'm like, oop, I must have done something bad to deserve this.
Right?
Makes me feel better about it.
Oh, my gosh. I also strongly, strongly, strongly believe in karma. Both ways, good and bad karma.
Mm-hmm. So we like to end our stuff with, like, talking about something good that's happened or, like, something that you're looking forward to or just, like, whatever you're vibing with. Do you have any thoughts? What? Why are you laughing at me?
Whatever you're vibing with. Like, do you have anything you're excited for this week? Any good news?
Well, my sister's about to have her second baby.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations, Auntie. Thanks.
Yes, that's literally what my niece calls me, Auntie. And so she's having a little boy named Leonardo.
Oh,
yes. She is ready to pop. Her due date is actually on Jaden's birthday, but she wants to have that baby out of here, like, now.
So. Oh, my gosh. I can imagine.
And we're talking about June 7th, the day that you're listening to this. So.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday, Jaden.
And happy birthday!
Hopefully, happy birthday. Would you say
Leonardo?
Leonardo, baby Leo. Hopefully, happy birthday. Hopefully, happy belated birthday.
Yes,
you're right.
He's here a little earlier.
Oh, that's so exciting! Oh, I'm so happy for you. I love babies.
I know.
Me too. I'm so excited.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
What about you, Meg? Well, I finally got, like, a permanent office space set up in my room. I'm sitting here right now at my desk.
Yeah, you look all legit.
But also, finally got an AC unit into my bedroom because my house does not have AC and it's quiet.
What brand did you get?
Life.
Huh? What brand did you get?
I don't know. I bought it off of some guy on Facebook Marketplace for $40.
I'm petrified of Facebook Marketplace.
I had my brother go with me. Okay. I was like, I'm not going alone. With a true crime podcast, I can hardly go anywhere alone.
Oh, yeah. Jaden wanted me to tell you about my true crime podcast mishap last night.
What happened?
Okay, so I have a huge ass house, and it is just me, because I'm stupid. But
if you're listening to this and you're trying to break into her house, she's got so many boys that live there. They're always there.
I have huge dogs.
Huge dogs.
She's got like six huge dogs. She's got all the security cameras that if you show up, the police are called automatically.
I do have a security system.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. I'm not going to disclose where my house is in Georgia.
Yeah. Right.
So my living room windows, two of them are like facing the street, and it's a pretty busy street. I'm in like the downtown area. Mm-hmm. And then my other window is facing like a brick wall, but there's enough, and it's the office building next to my house, and there's enough space in between for like a human body to walk back there. So
I like the way you said that.
I was saying the same thing.
I'm just trying to give you the size.
No, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it.
So I'm facing the window because it's where my TV is and I'm watching my TV. Mm-hmm. And out of nowhere, there's this bright light and I see lights from the other two windows of cars passing by. There's always like, I live on the street where a hospital is, fire station, cops, like there's always some sort of lights, but never through that window. So I look to the street and I'm thinking maybe there's a car facing my house and it's like the wrong way in the street, but there isn't. So I get up and I go in my dining room to look at the other two windows because they have blinds down. And yes. As soon as I start peeking through the blinds, the light goes off. So I'm like, oh my gosh, someone has a flashlight and they're back there and they're trying to look in my house. So I call my mom because obviously no one calls the cops first. You call your mother. And she's like, call the cops and ask them to do a drive-by. So I'm like, shit, okay, this is serious. I wanted her to tell me it was not serious. So I call the cops and I'm like, can you just do a drive-by? And so they come and I like show them where it is. And they go back there and I'm like, I'll go inside and show you the window that they were looking through. So I go to show them the window and I see no one back there. And I see all three of the cops on the street. So I'm like, oh my God, this is the light that I was talking about, but it's not from their flashlights. So I go outside and they're like, yeah, there's a motion sensor back there. And I was like, stop. What? Stop. I never knew that because it's never gone off. And he was like, yeah, and there was a beer can. So someone might have been back there like relieving themselves. Or, you know, it could have been a cat. So I'm like, okay, well, that makes me feel better that no one was like actively looking in my house. But
I mean, hey, like we say, it's better be safe than sorry. You know what I mean?
I was hiding in my bathroom.
I would have been doing the same thing.
Until the police got there because I was like, I can't go back in my living room because that's where the window is.
Mm-hmm. My God.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, she called me and I was like, oh my God. You know, I'm like hours away. I'm like having a panic attack. I'm like, hey, can you share your location with me? So oh my now God. I have I hers as well.
The first thing you always do is ask for the location.
Well, yeah, because if you guys go missing, hopefully I am tracking your phone, you know, and I can find you. I'm like, they're here or their phone is in this location. And then we get a clue. Then we can find you.
Fair, fair.
I'm just trying to fucking look out for you.
Oh my God, I did not think that that's how the story was going to turn out, but I'm so happy that there wasn't anyone there,
right?
I know. I don't even know what I would have done.
I mean, I would have probably have done exactly what you did, especially call my mom first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's funny cuz I just had a case at the magistrate like last week or something, and this dude like was trying to like get into this girl's house and she called her mom and then she was like, call the cops.
I mean, to be completely honest, I would do the same because I'm like, you need to talk me down, I'm being dramatic. Yeah. And then she'd be like, no, you need to call the cops. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
So that was real.
I know. God. It was just like, I don't get freaked out, like I don't mind living by myself at all.
Yeah.
But I could
like,
not.
The fact that, like, there shouldn't be a light coming from that small of a space. So I was like, oh, no.
How long have you been at your place?
Since August. So, like, over a year.
Especially with, like, an alleyway that kind of, like, small. You have no reason to go back there to see it in the first place.
Exactly. And there's, like, a bunch of bushes and stuff back there. So I'm like, who the fuck wants to walk in there anyway?
Yeah.
So hopefully it was just the cat. There is a cat. There's a cat that like roams around my backyard. His name's Pasquale.
Oh, I love that. All right, Jaden, what about you? What are you excited for this week?
So, I mean, obviously my birthday, but also not because I'm not ready to be 26. Not ready.
I'm holding 25 until I turn 30.
Seriously, I should tell every people year. That. But I love how, like, at the office, I'm the youngest. Like, so I feel I'm young everywhere. So
well, it's on like, here, I'm the youngest.
No, I know. I hate hanging out with you. Like, I feel like you make me feel old. Even though it's, like, not that big of a difference, but, like,
yeah. But,
and now I'm going to, like, literally, I was told the other day, to baby DA school. It's actually called, like, basic prosecutor training or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we call it baby DA school because, like, when you're, like, the new attorneys to the office, you go to this training.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Monday through Thursday, but we're leaving Sunday night, and I'm going with two of the attorneys in my office. And so it's going to be fucking nuts. I'm like excited to go with them.
You're going to have such a fun time. It's not going to be boring at all, right. I don't think.
But I'm like so sad because obviously Tyler's my person and I'm not going to see him on my birthday. And I'm like real sad. But yeah, so we'll be there for my birthday. And then on Thursday, I think I'm going to have to leave early. So, okay, our conference is in Harrisburg. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm flying out of Latrobe to go to Colorado on Thursday, like in the afternoon. So I have to leave Harrisburg, drive straight to the airport, hop a flight to Colorado, and then drive from Denver to Colorado Springs for my cousin's wedding.
You are a busy, busy bee.
Fucking right. And then on Sunday, I'll fly home. And yeah, but and then I'll have to drive back home from the airport.
Yeah.
So literally, I never do fucking anything. But when I have one thing planned, it's like fucking everything. Like, right. Can we just like scatter it out so I feel like I have a life most of the time instead of like a lazy piece of shit who like sits and reads or watches fucking Netflix.
Right.
Really same.
But yeah, so. I'll have to update you guys next week.
So much. Oh, I'm going to Hershey this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. I'm going to see my friend. She has an internship with Hershey, like Hershey Park. Ooh. So me and my roommate are going to go and go to the park on Saturday and hang out with her.
I have a scary story about Hershey Park.
Ooh, tell us.
Oh, gosh.
It's quick. So, I literally don't ride the swings anymore. Like, you know, the swings mm-hmm. ride.
Yeah.
Because when I went to Hershey Park for the first time as a little kid, I was probably like 8. And Hershey Park is very, like, it's an old amusement park. And so the swings operator, it had a booth with, like, a door. Mm-hmm. And so the guy, like, I remember he didn't even check to make sure I was buckled, but I was big enough that it didn't really matter. And I could mm-hmm. myself.
Yeah.
So he was around. You're supposed to like make sure everyone's buckled. Goes in the ride operator booth, shuts the door, and there's like a clear plexiglass so he can see us. He can't mm-hmm. hear us though. So we start going and we're at like the top maximum speed, maximum height.
Mm-hmm.
He's in front of me, falls out of it, and is hanging. On the bars as we're spinning. And mind you, so we were at maximum velocity. So we are slowing down at this point. However, you know, it's still kind of fast.
Yeah.
And like we're all screaming at him to open up, like to stop the ride, open his booth. No one. So his parents hopped the fence and like caught him as it was slowing down because the kid's hands were like slipping.
Yeah.
And it was traumatic. I, my mom didn't let me ride any more rides the rest of the day.
I wonder if there's a lawsuit. Because, like, I mean, I guess a kid didn't get hurt. But, like, that's still, like, a mental fucked upness.
That's and like I bet the that biggest dude fear is to, like, fall out of any type of ride.
Exactly. And so it wasn't, like, a ride. Like, it wasn't, like, a prototype issue. It was just he was not buckled.
Yeah,
I'd be suing the kid that was working.
Yeah, so who knows.
But I did learn in my one law class, because I had to take comm law for communications. When you sue someone, you sue everyone.
You do, and you sue the deep pockets. So you sue Hershey, not that kid.
Well, you sue everyone. You sue Hershey and the kid.
Oh, I know, but you're not getting the kid for anything. And probably because he's working. Hershey's
technically liable because they
employed him.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And he was working.
Mm-hmm. I've actually never been to Hershey.
Okay, so I'm not going on the swings.
Don't go on the swings, but I think we're all, like, big enough. It might have even been, like, a little kid swing ride. I don't know, like, at what point. Like, so I don't know. And Hershey Park doesn't have that many, like, cool big kid rides anyway.
I'm not going to test it.
Just play it safe.
Yeah, I don't ride swings anywhere anymore. Especially, they have, like, major ones. They go really high up.
Yeah, they do.
I don't trust you.
Oh, well, that just gave me anxiety.
Sorry. No. I ride all other roller coasters. So don't let that scare you.
I'm a roller coaster junkie.
Yeah. Fucking love them.
It's anything else.
So don't be scared.
I won't. But it's, like, fair rides, like, or anything that's not, like, a roller coaster and can't be moved.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, I'm fine with that, but I can't do anything else. There's too many stories.
Fairs are kind of sketchy, like, when you think about it.
100%, but I also feel like that's the time where our parents, like, don't give a shit. Like, they should, but they're at the point in the summer where they're like, here's money, go. There's enough adults that we know around that we feel like you're safe, go. And they just let you do whatever. And I'm like, I could die on this ride right now, and you don't even care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But, I wanted to update from last time when I was explaining Tyler's stuff.
Oh, that's right.
I sounded so dumb describing it. But, like, when I talked to just Megan earlier in the episode, which I cut out because it didn't make sense because I was just talking to her.
Right.
Tyler, he runs this gaming org called Nocturnal. So they play Destiny is the main game they play, but they play a bunch of different games. And so the last time we had an episode out, because I guess it wasn't last week, it was the week before because we took a break, but they were doing that huge raid thing. And so it's like a world, like everyone who plays, like, does this, and it's to see who can be number one. And I think they got like 87 in the world, like,
that's his crazy raid team.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so shout out to Tyler. They've got, and again, if you have Amazon Prime, you get a free Twitch sub. I'm pretty sure, I mean, we said it last time, it's like Tyler McMuffin, I believe. But yeah, go check him out on stream, or like, if any of your friends like gaming, have them hit him up.
Is Tyler sponsoring us to say this? I'm kidding, he's not. We're not.
But yeah, so, yeah.
But... Oh. Well, congrats to him. That's crazy.
I know, right? But yeah. So, I mean, I guess we'll wrap this up.
Yeah.
But
I think we talked everyone's ears off.
Yeah.
Enough. Well, again, Heather, thank you so much for being our first guest. You did a phenomenal job.
Our first victim. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored. I'm the first one. Setting the standards high, hopefully.
Seriously.
Oh, for sure. I was shocked. Like, you started talking. I was like, this girl just picked it right up. Like. She makes, like, it look so easy.
My time to shine. I'm fucking doing this huge ass case.
I know. And it's not even like it's like a smaller case where there's only a couple people. Like, and you went in depth to each person and like all the details. I'm impressed, girl.
Well, I told Jaden that I was like, I don't know if it'll be enough. And then I took more notes and I was like, yeah, it'll definitely be enough.
Yeah. It's crazy that you do the research and then you, like, have it all typed out and then you see how many pages it is and you're like,
huh? Yeah. And you're like, fuck. But, no, it was super amazing.
Yeah. You can follow us on a little thing called Murder on Instagram, ALTC Murder on Twitter, and you can email us a little thing called Murder at gmail.com for any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, anything.
Yes. If you're a Karen, if you want to reach out, you know, we'll just put it right into spam.
Or a Marge.
Yeah. Or a Marge.
Or a Marge. Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts because, you know, you should.
Yeah. Just because we're telling you.
You'll be on the murder list, bitch. Yeah.
Exactly. We will find you.
I'm kidding. We will make you share your location with us so we know you're safe, but we will also find you.
We will find you. We will not kill you, but we'll have some, we'll have a conversation.
We will slightly inconvenience you.
Yes. All right, well, we need to wrap this out because we just keep like...
Yeah. I was literally going to tell a story about slightly inconveniencing, but...
Do you want to? I mean...
Heather's like, no.
Heather's like, I'm tired.
11:38.
I had a long day at work.
Trust me, I feel you.
But, okay. So,
all right, well, always remember to trust your gut.
Because it's better to be fucking safe than fucking sorry. That's we love right. you.
See you guys.